So you're curious about spiritualitysource.com, huh? Seems like they've got a lot going on in the world of, well, personal growth and all things spirituality. Ready to take a deep dive and see what we can uncover.
Always fascinating to see how these online platforms, cater to those seeking something more. The way they present their content, the language they use, even just the way the website's laid out, it can be really telling.
Yeah, and right off the bat, this site feels like a one-stop shop. We're talking everything from hypnotherapy, NLP, even shamanism and ayahuasca retreats. That's quite a range. Makes you wonder who they're aiming all this at, you know?
Right. Talk about casting a wide net. It seems like they're trying to appeal to anyone and everyone who identifies with that word spiritual. Suggests a pretty broad definition, wouldn't you say? Blending those ancient traditions with more modern techniques.
And it's not just the variety of practices either. They've got this whole section dedicated to retreats, detox, yoga. They even have sexual health retreats. Not something you see every day.
Definitely intriguing. Putting sexual health alongside these more, I guess, traditional spiritual practices, it kind of speaks to that trend, right? Embracing a more holistic idea of well-being, mind, body, spirit, the whole package. Like they're saying, our sexuality is part of that, part of being healthy and happy.
It's interesting, right, how they're blending these ancient practices with like these modern concepts. They even have mindful meditation for weight loss. What do you make of that?
I think it reflects that shift we're seeing. Where people are looking for practical applications for these practices. Mindfulness, for instance, used to be seen as purely spiritual, but now people are using it for stress management, better focus, even, things like weight loss.
Abridging that gap almost. Bringing spirituality to people who wouldn't necessarily think of themselves as spiritual.
Exactly. It's about making it relevant to our modern lives,
Yeah.
using these practices as tools for personal growth, for well-being, all of it.
And speaking of integrating it all, let's talk about this whole community vibe they've got going on. They have this freebies section, free books, music, even guest blogging opportunities. Seems like they're really going for that feeling of connection, shared exploration, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Smart move, too. Providing free resources like that. It's a great way to draw people in, make them feel like they belong, give them a little taste of what you're all about, get them engaged with the content, with each other.
It's not just about the freebies either. They've got a blog, and let me tell you, it covers a lot of ground. We're talking astrology, chakras, even things like magic mushrooms and witchcraft. Eclectic, to say the least.
It seems like they're not afraid to, explore those fringes of human experience, embrace those alternative belief systems. Could be their way of attracting a diverse crowd, people with different interests, all within that umbrella of spirituality and personal growth.
Okay, hold on a sec. Let's talk location, location, location. They've got retreats all over. But one thing that jumps out is their focus on, well, the Americas, especially South America. What's the significance there, do you think?
Well, you've got to think South America is kind of a hub for shamanism, plant medicine, those sorts of things. It lines up with their focus on ayahuasca and all that. Seems like they're really curating these experiences around those specific traditions, tapping into that growing interest.
So it's not just a random assortment of retreats. They're going for a specific angle on spirituality, personal growth.
Yeah, absolutely. Creating a platform for exploration, sure, but also steering people toward paths that align with their own philosophy, their values.
Speaking of guidance, let's dig into their blog content, see what kind of insights they're offering. They have this one titled, Seven Reasons Retreats Are Important for a Happy Life. And I've got to admit, that caught my eye.
Happy life. Yeah, that's a compelling title. It speaks to all of us, right? That desire for happiness. Let's see how they connect the dots. What wisdom are they offering?
Sounds like a plan. Seven reasons. Let's dive in and find out.
All right, seven reasons for retreat-based happiness. You ready to unpack this?
Lay it on me.
Okay, so reason number one, they say retreats, they offer an escape from the daily grind. They argue that stepping away from our routines can do wonders for our well-being.
Yeah, makes sense. We're all feeling that burnout these days, right? The need to just unplug. Maybe retreats are less of a luxury, more of a necessity in our always-on world.
Totally, like hitting the reset button on life.
Speaking of resetting, reason number two, gaining a fresh perspective. They're saying a change of environment can help you see things in a new light.
You know what they say? A change is as good as a rest. Gotta
No.
disrupt those thought patterns, right? See the world with fresh eyes.
A vacation for the mind. And hey, speaking of vacations, reason number three, deep relaxation. They say retreats, they're ideal for letting go of stress, tension, just letting your mind and body unwind.
Can't argue with that. We all need to rest. It's about giving ourselves permission to just be, not always doing.
Sometimes doing nothing is the most productive thing. Okay, so what's next? Reason number four.
Deep inner work, that's what they're calling it.
So like therapy, but in a more exotic location.
Well, not necessarily. It's more about that dedicated time, you know, to really connect with yourself, your thoughts, your emotions, all that stuff we tend to push aside in our everyday lives.
A deep dive into the soul. I like it. What's number five?
Connecting with like-minded people. They say retreats offer that unique opportunity to connect with others who share your interests or, you know, your spiritual inclinations.
Finding your tribe.
Exactly. It's that basic human need, right? To belong, to connect. Creating a sense of community, which can be so powerful, especially with how isolating life can feel these days.
And even if you're not looking for your tribe, reason number six, disconnecting from technology. They're suggesting a tech break can really help you be more present, more mindful.
Yeah, I mean, we're all feeling it, that tech overload. It's about reclaiming your attention, you know, rediscovering the beauty of the present moment without constantly checking your phone.
Because sometimes the most fascinating thing isn't on a screen. It's right there in front of you.
Couldn't agree more. All right, ready for the grand finale. Reason number seven, retreats as a catalyst for personal growth and transformation. They're saying these experiences can shift our perspectives, heal old wounds, and ultimately inspire us to live more fulfilling lives.
Big claims.
Yeah.
But I get it. It's like hitting the fast forward button on your own evolution, right?
Exactly. There's a reason pilgrimages, retreats, all of that have been part of spiritual traditions for centuries, you know? It's about recognizing that power of removing yourself from the familiar, opening yourself up to new experiences, new ways of being.
Okay, so we've covered there's seven reasons. Let's shift gears a bit. There's this other post, how to transform your body. Now, that's a bold statement. I'm really curious to see where they go with this one.
Me too. It's a big promise. Transform your body. I'm interested to see what approach they're taking here.
Well, they start off strong, emphasizing a holistic approach, mind, body, and spirit. They're saying true transformation comes from addressing all aspects of ourselves, not just, you know, our physical appearance.
That's good to hear. I was a little worried they'd be pushing some kind of quick fix or, you know, unrealistic beauty standards. It sounds like they're acknowledging that our bodies are complex systems, right? Influenced by our thoughts, emotions, lifestyle. Everything's connected.
Totally. It's not just about hitting the gym and eating your greens, though they do touch on those things too, but they really delve into the power of positive self-talk, stress management, even just cultivating a more loving relationship with your body.
I'm into it. We need more of that, you know? Instead of seeing our bodies as projects, it's about respect, appreciation.
And they don't shy away from the spiritual side either. They talk about our bodies as temples, encouraging readers to connect with their inner wisdom, their intuition.
Listening to your body's wisdom, yeah. Instead of trying to force it into submission, you know?
Okay, before we move on, I gotta ask. They have a post titled, Lose Weight the Monk Way. Spill the tea. What ancient secrets did we uncover?
Well, you might be disappointed to hear it's not really about secret techniques. It's more about, I guess you could say, simple, mindful living.
So no need to give up coffee then?
You're safe for now. But they do emphasize mindful eating, really paying attention to your food, savoring each bite, listening to your body's cues for hunger and fullness.
It's more about that awareness, that conscious relationship with food, rather than just some restrictive diet. What else about this monk way?
They talk about exercise, but not in the way you might think. It's not about grueling workouts, more about incorporating movement into your day naturally.
Like walking meditations, gentle yoga, that sort of thing.
Exactly. Finding ways to make movement a joyful part of life, not another chore on the to-do list. And of course, it wouldn't be a mink-inspired lifestyle without the mental and spiritual aspects.
Right, because stress and all that can really sabotage our well-being.
For sure. They talk about cultivating gratitude, practicing mindfulness, finding contentment in the present moment, all things that benefit us, whether we're trying to lose weight or not.
It all comes back to that holistic approach they seem to emphasize. Speaking of which, they've got this post, 10 tips to practice yoga every day. I'm always down for some practical advice, you know, deep in my practice.
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right, tip number one, create a dedicated space for your practice. They say even if it's just a corner, having that designated area helps you get in the right headspace.
Yeah, it's like creating a sanctuary, a space where you can disconnect from the outside world, connect with yourself.
Exactly. And speaking of starting small, that's actually their second tip. They're advising beginners, don't feel pressured to jump into a 90-minute class right away.
It's about consistency, right? Building that sustainable practice.
Yeah.
Intensity comes later.
And this one's important. Tip number three, listen to your body. They're big on honoring your physical limitations, not pushing yourself beyond your edge.
Good advice for life, honestly, not just yoga.
All right, tip number four. Make yoga a part of your morning routine. They argue waking up and moving your body, even for a few minutes, sets a positive tone for the day.
It's about prioritizing yourself, you know, making time for you, even when things get hectic.
I like it. Okay, tip number five, find what works for you. They say with all the different styles of yoga out there, experiment until you find one that really resonates.
Exactly. From vinyasa to yin, there's something for everyone.
They also recommend trying different teachers, different studios, until you find the right fit.
Finding a teacher who inspires you, a community that supports you, that's important.
Okay, let's shift gears a bit here. They have a whole section on Reiki. Energy healing always seemed a little, I don't know, out there for me. What's their take on it?
Well, they describe it as a gentle yet powerful healing modality. You know, helps reduce stress, alleviate pain, promote relaxation. Basically, it involves channeling energy into the body to promote healing and balance.
So how does that actually work, channeling energy?
It's based on this idea that we have these subtle energy centers, chakras, and they can get blocked or depleted, leading to imbalances.
And Reiki helps to unblock them.
That's the idea. They also make it clear that Reiki is a complementary therapy, not meant to replace traditional medicine, but rather work alongside it.
Makes sense. It's about that holistic approach again, isn't it?
For sure. And speaking of different modalities, they also have a category for pranic healing, which is another form of energy healing with roots in ancient India.
How's pranic healing different from Reiki? They both seem to involve dot energy.
So while Reiki focuses on channeling energy, pranic healing, it's all about cleansing and energizing the body's energy field, what they call the aura. It's thought to be like a blueprint for our physical and emotional well-being.
Okay, and how do they go about cleansing and energizing this aura?
Interestingly, they describe pranic healing as a no-touch modality. So instead of physical touch, the practitioner works directly with the individual's energy field.
So it's like they're working on a whole other level.
In a way, yeah. It's acknowledging that interconnectedness of our energetic and physical bodies.
So we got Reiki, pranic healing, and of course they have a section on crystal healing. Oh, surprising, right?
Crystals are having a moment. They've been used for their healing properties for centuries, you know. Each type of crystal is believed to vibrate at a specific frequency, and that frequency interacts with the energy centers in our bodies.
Right, right. So how do they suggest incorporating crystals into your life? Like just carry them around?
They emphasize the importance of choosing crystals intuitively, you know, working with them in a way that feels personally aligned. It's less about following strict rules, more about tapping into your own intuition, connecting with the subtle energies of these natural wonders.
Trust your gut and let the crystals guide you. I like it. What else have we got?
Well, they have a whole category dedicated to brain power, which I thought was interesting.
Brain power? Sounds intense. What kind of brain-boosting secrets did they reveal?
It's less about secrets, more about empowering people with knowledge about their own minds. They delve into neuroplasticity, the brain's ability to change and adapt throughout life. And they offer tips on enhancing cognitive function through lifestyle changes, brain training exercises, things like that.
So it's about actively shaping your own brain health.
Exactly. They're saying we're not stuck with the brain we're born with. We can improve it, optimize it.
Like giving your brain a workout. Love it.
Yeah.
Okay, what else? They have a section for NLP too, right?
They do. Neuro-linguistic programming, always a fascinating one. It's all about how our thoughts, language, and behavior patterns, how they shape our experiences. And NLP offers tools for creating positive change.
So like rewiring your brain.
Kind of, yeah. They talk about it as a way to reprogram your subconscious mind, to achieve your goals, overcome limiting beliefs, ultimately create a more fulfilling life.
It's like they're saying, you are not your thoughts, you are the architect of your thoughts.
Exactly. Recognizing the power of your mind. Shaping your own reality.
And then there's hypnotherapy. Always had a bit of a mystery around it, to be honest.
Yeah, hypnotherapy gets a bad rap from all those stage shows, you know? But it can be a really valuable therapeutic technique.
Yeah. So how do they explain it?
They emphasize it's not about mind control as much as Hollywood might want us to believe. It's about guiding someone into a relaxed state. A suggestible state where they can access their own inner wisdom, their own healing abilities.
Tapping into the subconscious mind for healing and transformation.
Exactly. And they're very clear about recommending you work with a qualified hypnotherapist, you know, someone experienced to ensure safety and effectiveness.
Makes sense. It's the subconscious mind we're talking about, after all. Now, onto a topic that's been getting a lot of buzz lately, ayahuasca. They've got a whole category devoted to it.
Ayahuasca, yeah, it's definitely having a moment. It's a powerful plant medicine used for centuries by indigenous cultures in the Amazon for healing, spiritual purposes, the whole works.
Not without controversy, though, right?
Oh, for sure. And they do acknowledge both the potential benefits and the risks, which I think is important.
So how do they suggest approaching ayahuasca? Carefully, I'm guessing.
Very carefully. They really stress treating it with respect, reverence, ideally experiencing it within a ceremonial context guided by experienced practitioners.
Makes sense, given how potent it is. You don't want to mess around with that.
Exactly. They definitely caution against using it recreationally or without proper guidance because, yeah, it can be a powerful, potentially overwhelming experience.
Not something to take lightly. Okay, they also have a section on shamanism. What's their take on this ancient practice?
They describe it as a spiritual practice that involves connecting with the natural world, accessing altered states of consciousness, all to gain wisdom, healing, guidance.
This kind of ties in with the ayahuasca thing.
Absolutely. Shamanism is often associated with plant medicines, but it's a broader umbrella. You know, drumming, chanting, rituals.
Tapping into a different realm of consciousness to connect with nature's wisdom.
Exactly. It's about recognizing the interconnectedness of everything, you know, tapping into that sacredness that surrounds us.
Sounds intense, but I can see the appeal.
Yeah.
All right, what's next?
Astrology. They've got a whole section dedicated to it.
Ah, yes. Deciphering the secrets of the cosmos. What insights did they have about our birth charts and all that?
Well, they covered the basics, you know, explaining the zodiac signs, the planets, the houses, and how they all interact to create that unique blueprint for each person.
We're all made of stardust, right? Our cosmic makeup influencing who we are.
That's the idea. And they get into those more advanced concepts too, like transits and progressions, you know, how the movements of the planets can influence our lives at different times.
It's like having a cosmic roadmap.
In a way, yeah. But they're clear that astrology isn't about predicting the future, you know? Not with absolute certainty. It's more about understanding your potential, recognizing recurring patterns, making choices that align with, well, your highest good.
So it's empowering, not predetermining.
Exactly. Working with the cosmic energies, not against them.
All right, let's talk about something that's become really popular, meditation. They have a whole category for it.
Meditation. It's definitely gone mainstream. And for good reason, right? All those benefits for our mental, emotional, physical well-being.
The only problem is there are so many different techniques out there. It can be a little overwhelming. Where do you even begin?
They do a good job of addressing that. They explore different types. Mindfulness meditation, guided meditation, transcendental meditation. Really giving people a range of options to try.
So there's no right way to meditate.
Not really. They stress it's a practice. Like any skill, it takes time, patience, consistency.
It's about the journey, not the destination.
Exactly. And they highlight the rewards of that journey, you know?
Yeah.
Reduce stress, better focus, more self-awareness, a greater sense of peace and well-being. Those are some pretty great rewards.
Can't argue with that. So mindfulness meditation, that's like a whole thing on its own now. They have a separate category for that too.
They do. And they describe it as a type of meditation where you focus on paying attention to the present moment without judgment. Sounds easy enough, but...
Harder than it sounds. That whole quieting the mind thing.
Tell me about it. But they do give some tips on incorporating mindfulness into daily life. Paying attention to your breath, savoring your food, appreciating the beauty around you.
Little moments of presence throughout the day.
Exactly. And they make it clear it's not about being perfect at it. It's about cultivating that gentle, compassionate awareness.
Okay, time for a topic I'm particularly interested in, dreams. They have a whole section on dream interpretation and all that. Always been fascinated by the whole thing.
Dreams. Yeah, they've intrigued humans for as long as we've been around, haven't they? They give us a glimpse into our subconscious minds, our deepest fears and desires.
But figuring out what it all means, that's the tricky part.
They agree. And they actually delve into different theories of dream interpretation. From Freud to Jung to shamanic dream work, they offer a whole range of perspectives.
So no white way to interpret a dream then?
Not necessarily. They suggest keeping a dream journal, paying attention to recurring themes, symbols, the emotions that come up.
So becoming fluent in the language of your subconscious, basically.
Exactly. And they even dedicate a section to lucid dreaming, which is, you know, becoming aware that you're dreaming while you're dreaming.
That always seemed like something out of a movie, to be honest.
Right. But it's a real thing. And they talk about it as a powerful tool for personal growth, creativity, even problem solving.
Hold on. You're telling me I can solve problems in my sleep?
Well, maybe. They talk about techniques like reality testing, dream journaling to improve dream recall. It's all about training your mind to recognize when you're in that dream state.
So what you're saying is, I need to start taking my dream journal more seriously.
It couldn't hurt. They really encourage people to explore those possibilities, you know, to see the dream world as a canvas for creativity, a lab for self-discovery.
It's like you're saying, your dreams are your playground. I love that. So big picture, we've covered a lot of ground here, from energy healing and meditation to astrology, dream interpretation. They really do seem to have thought of everything.
They've definitely gone above and beyond in providing resources for people, exploring ancient wisdom traditions, modern modalities. It's a pretty impressive range, really.
And they've managed to strike that balance, haven't they, between offering guidance, but also encouraging that personal exploration.
Totally. They're not saying this is the one right way to do spirituality. It's more like, here are some tools. Now go find what works for you.
Okay. So before we wrap up part two, let's take a quick look at this freebies section. They've got free musics, free books, even a guest post submission form. What do you make of this generosity?
I think it speaks volumes, don't you? They're not just here to preach. They want to hear from others, create a dialogue. It's refreshing.
Yeah, it definitely feels like they're fostering this sense of community, like we were saying before. So free music, free books. Let's dive into these free offerings and see what treasures we can unearth. All right, let's dive into this freebie section. They've really piqued our curiosity with these free musics.
Free musics, huh? It's not your typical website offering, is it? Complimentary music alongside your spiritual guidance?
Right. What kind of sonic experience are they curating? Are we talking binaural beats, nature sounds, or maybe even, I don't know, some kind of mystical electronica?
It's a mystery waiting to be unraveled. But I think it speaks to their understanding of how powerful music can be, you know? It can shift your mood, alter your consciousness, even transport you to another place, whether that place is real or imagined.
They're providing the soundtrack to our spiritual journeys. I like that. And speaking of journeys, they've also got a section for free books.
Free books on a website all about spirituality. Color me intrigued.
Right. I'm wondering what kind of literary gems they've got tucked away in there. Are we talking classic spiritual texts, those self-published guides to manifesting abundance, or maybe even, I don't know, some poetry about finding enlightenment on a yoga mat?
It's a literary treasure hunt. But it speaks to their generosity, don't you think? Sharing knowledge, making it accessible. Not everyone can afford those workshops and retreats.
Exactly. It's like they're removing those financial barriers, making spirituality accessible to more people.
Right. It suggests their priority is building a community, not just, you know, turning a profit.
And speaking of community, there's that guest post submission form. That's pretty cool.
It is. It's like they're saying, hey, we don't have all the answers. Come share your wisdom, your experiences.
Love that open approach. It's more democratic, you know, more inclusive, multiple voices, different perspectives, all of it.
It's refreshing because wisdom can come from anywhere, right? Not just established experts or ancient traditions.
Exactly. We're all on this journey together and we can learn from each other.
It's like they're building a virtual gathering place, a digital campfire for seekers of all kinds. We can share stories, insights, support each other.
I love that imagery. And it really speaks to what spiritualitysource.com is all about, doesn't it? That sense of exploration, connection, transformation, all of it. So as we wrap up our deep dive into spiritualitysource.com, any final thoughts?
You know, I'm really impressed by their commitment to providing such a wide array of resources, free and paid, supporting people on their spiritual journeys. They've got it all, from those ancient wisdom traditions to the modern stuff. And they do it with a real sense of inclusivity. That's what I appreciate.
Yeah, they've struck that balance, haven't they? Providing guidance, but also encouraging people to find their own way.
Exactly. No one-size-fits-all approach to spirituality here. It's all about finding what resonates with you, creating your own path.
And they make it fun.
They do. It's clear they're passionate about this, and it's contagious.
So, to our listeners, if you're curious about, well, any of this spirituality, personal growth, alternative healing, spiritualitysource.com seems like a great place to start.
For sure. Whether you're, you know, a seasoned seeker or just starting out, They've got something for everyone.
And who knows? You might discover a new passion, connect with a community, uncover something amazing about yourself. The possibilities are endless.
They really are.
So, dear listener, what are you waiting for? Go on, take a deep dive into spiritualitysource.com, see where your own journey takes you.
Until next time, keep seeking, keep exploring.
This has been The Deep Dive.